The Church, in her wisdom, sets out weekly readings from the Gospels. These readings allow us to follow the life and teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ and the story of our salvation. Upper Room Media presents to you the weekly Sunday homily delivered from Sydney, Australia.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. The gospel today begins with a question. Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And it's a question that the disciples asked because they were jealous. The gospel immediately before this, or the readings immediately before this, is a jealousy where they had felt that perhaps Jesus was putting Peter above the rest of them. And so they asked him then, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Expecting that he would say that one of them would be the greatest. Perhaps James, perhaps John, perhaps Andrew. But Christ's response is very strange. He says, Amen. Truly I say to you, and your translations would most likely say, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So immediately there are two strange things. One is that Christ's sentence begins with the word Amen. You don't have that often in English. You'll often have it as assuredly I say to you. But in Greek it's amin lego imin. Literally, amen. I'm going to say something to you. And that's a very strange thing which our ears don't pick up. But in the Hebrew thought or the Hebrew literature, you never said amen before you began a sentence. Only after the sentence. Because it was a way of saying so be it. So somebody would say something and then the crowd would say, Amen, so be it, we accept what you are saying, we confirm what you are saying. Christ says Amen before he speaks. And he's the only person in the whole of Jewish literature that does that. And what he's saying to them is, I don't need your confirmation. What I am saying to you is God. What I'm saying to you is from God, with the authority of God. The second thing is, he says to them, you need to be converted and become as little children. That word, strafete in Greek, means to turn oneself, to change oneself into something else. To change oneself. So unless we change and become as these little children, we will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And the one that does change themselves and become like a little child is the one that will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So Christ is not here making a suggestion. But what exactly is he asking us to change into? What is he asking of us? I've always thought this to mean the humility and the simplicity of children. As you know, children are very simple. They can go from a state of complete anger to complete ecstasy within seconds. They don't hold on to things. They can hardly remember the pain of yesterday, and tomorrow they'll be just as happy as you they were. And so there's certainly this humility and simplicity of children. And that's certainly true. But recently I read a study in behavioral psychology that I think makes a lot more deeper sense of what Christ is trying to say here. In the early 1900s, perhaps because of wars and a number of other things, psychiatrists began to think that mothers were bad for their babies. That what mothers were doing in their parenting was somehow destroying these young children. That the mothers, because of their poor parenting, were causing all kinds of diseases and pathologies of the mind. So they were causing the children to become insecure, anxious, depressed. And so because of that, whenever you went to see somebody because you had a problem, they would say to you, tell me about your childhood, because something went wrong in your childhood to cause what you are today. And so they then took it further and they started to say, well, hold on, what happens if we took all these babies and instead of letting them being parented, we'll let them grow in baby farms, separate from their mothers, separate from their fathers, and perhaps then they wouldn't be corrupted. And they grow up pure. They grow up clear in their minds. They grow up without these attachments. Because they thought that when a baby latches onto its mother and is fed with milk, the baby has done nothing to earn that milk. And so straight away a child is then taught to become lazy, to receive rewards with no effort whatsoever. And so as these thoughts, which obviously to us sound quite strange, started to spread further and further, there was a behavioral psychologist by the name of Henry Harlow in the 1950s who decided to study monkeys to see if he could learn anything about them that could give him a hint on what happens with humans, because monkeys obviously are quite similar to humans. But back then you couldn't find monkeys. So he started breeding his own monkeys until eventually they all started dying one by one, because when they're around their mothers and around other babies, they started to get sick and disease. And so he separated them all and literally created what the psychologist wanted, a baby farm. But it was a baby monkey farm. When they then took these monkeys that were fed and were grown up for a couple of years, and they put them back into the colony, they started to notice something very strange. These monkeys were useless. They couldn't do any experiments with them because these monkeys had zero problem-solving skills. They couldn't function. They couldn't socially interact with any of the monkeys around them. They were totally useless. They were panicked, walking around, confused, unable to communicate, unable to play, unable to solve problems, unable to do anything. And then as this psychologist started to look, he started to notice all of these baby monkeys had diapers in their hands. And he was wondering, why diapers? In their cages, when they had separated them, they'd put diapers on the bottom as bedding material because it's soft. And so these baby monkeys, they were motherless, they were useless, but they were attaching themselves to anything soft. And so they grabbed these diapers and they put them in their hands. Exactly as many of our children would carry blankets or blankies, especially when they feel in a state of stress. And so these monkeys, without mothers, without learning anything about human contact, had a need. And that need was something inside them. That need was something innate inside them, something inherent inside them. They needed physical contact. They needed to touch something soft. So then this figure, Harlow, decided to create some surrogate mothers for these baby monkeys. And so what he did was he created two surrogate mothers, one made of wire, but with the face of a monkey, another one made of cloth, but with the face of a monkey. And then he put a tube of milk coming out of the wire for four of the monkeys. But for the other four, they had a cloth monkey that would have the wire coming out of them. And so each, there was eight monkeys, each one had two mothers. One was made of cloth, one was made of wire. So there were 16 mothers, each monkey got two mothers. The strange thing was, the monkey wasn't attaching to the mother that was giving them the milk. It was attaching to the soft one. Even if the soft one wasn't giving the milk, it was still, all of the monkeys would attach themselves and move themselves into the folds of the cloth. Even if they tried to drink milk from the wire, they would still touch onto the soft while they're drinking milk from the wire. Because the babies, it's not just about food, it's not just about sustenance. There's an innate need for contact, for physical contact, for softness. Monkeys had an innate need for a physical contact of softness. Then they started to expand these experiments. Forgive me for going on about this. They started to expand these experiments a bit further. And they noticed that human babies and children acted exactly the same as these little baby monkeys. Exactly the same. All children alternate between safety and exploration. And so if you watch a child and you go visit someone's house, you will notice that in the child's house, they'll often quite quickly move to you, smile, start playing with you, even if you don't know that child. But if some parents came to your house and that child was out of a safe environment, you will notice that the child would hug onto the mother very, very closely, will not release from that mother at all. And it would take maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes of smiles and coaxing before that child would leave the mother. Then they will go to explore. It's exactly the same thing with these monkeys. When you put these monkeys with their mother in a room with toys, it takes a while. But eventually they'll climb down from their mother, start playing with the toys, start exploring. And then when something happens, something stressful, another character enters into the room, they run back to the mother and they reattach. They reconnect. If the mother disappears from the room, they start panicking and screaming, exactly like our babies. And so the baby monkeys, like baby children, go through this process or cycle between connecting with their mother, physical soft contact, moving, exploring in the world, then coming back for comfort, moving and exploring the world, and coming back for comfort. When something goes wrong in the mothering or the parenting cycle, that process doesn't work properly. The monkey either becomes overly clingy, overly attached, or becomes despairing, becomes hopeless, depressed. And that's what they observed, for example, in post-World War II orphanages. That if you walked in, half of the children would go and cling to no matter who's walking through, and they won't let go of them. And the other half are despairing, depressed, upset, in a corner, unable to contact, unable to deal with it. They've lost that cycle of connecting and then exploring and then connecting. These results were studied again and again and again and again. A child with a normal upbringing always has that normal attach, reattach cycle. Safety, explore. Safety, explore. Why am I talking about all of this? Because all human relationship is in the imprint of our relationship to God. Not just as an example, but rather we literally bear the image of God in us. We're created in the image of God. So at least three things come out of these studies if you look at them in the light of divine human relationship. One, without intimate contact with God, we become like those monkeys that are raised in the baby farms. We have an innate need for divine love and relationship and contact. Without it, we become confused. Our hearts begin searching in any direction, every direction. As St. Augustine once said, our hearts are made for God. And so they remain restless until they find their rest in God. We become like these monkeys that are walking around with diapers in our hands, attaching ourselves to anything that is soft, anything that brings some form of momentary pleasure, any kind of comfort. We believe in anything and everything. The second thing is, we may even mistake a cloth, as these monkeys did, as our surrogate God. These monkeys, because they were deprived of a mother, attached themselves to a figurine covered in cloth and thought that that was their mother, convincing themselves that that was their mother. We're exactly the same. When we're deprived without contact with our parent, our God, we then start to seek surrogate gods, anything that's soft, anything that gives us some comfort. But like the monkeys, it would leave us confused, anxious, unsure of our very existence, not knowing who we are, not knowing our identity, not knowing how to be with our parent, how to be in the world. But that's not what Christ wants for us, just as no mother could want that for a child. What Christ wants for us is that normal safety and exploration that children have. When Christ says to us, be changed and become like little children, and unless you become changed and become like little children, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. He means enter into a true relationship with me. Accept me as your parent, as your mother, as your father. Experience me as a parent. Don't try and find surrogates. Don't try to find things that you can hold in your hands that are not God. Then you will become like that child who knows his mother, who knows how to connect and receive comfort, who knows how to hug onto his mother, and then, when he's in the world, able to detach from the mother, able to explore, able to take something of that relationship of what he knows with his mother into the world. And then at the same time knows how to retreat back to his mother, knows how to go back to the mother. So think again about Christ's answer. Unless you are converted and become as little children, you by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. To be a little child is to know who I am a child of, is to rely on God as a child relies on his mother, is to know that God is always there for us, even when we enter the world and separate from him. And it's most importantly to know that we can return to God, touch him, be comforted by him, be reconnected to him as we go through life. That's what it means to be a child. To be utterly dependent on God. And yet to receive from him peace, comfort and strength that we then take into the world and then return back to him. That's what it means to be a child. And so if I am sitting here and do not feel that I'm utterly dependent on God, then I have to think to myself, am I holding onto something in my hand? Do I have a diaper in my hand? Do I have some form of comfort in my hand? Have I created a surrogate God for myself? Or am I really in contact with my God who gives me peace, who gives me comfort and gives me strength no matter what is happening in the world? Glory be to God forevermore. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.